Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all.
Welcome to our 327th program of Think Again, broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Think Again is a program of Borderlands Cooperative, an organisation working for social change. I'm Jennifer Burrell, your host today, while Jacques is away for a week. Today I do have on the line Marie Pardee, the lead author of a new report by Footscray Community Response, which has evaluated Maribyrnong Council's use of local law officers and security guards to respond to social and health issues in Footscray, and I believe it's called the CBD Security Patrol Program. And I guess the Footscray Community Response is a collective opposing Council's decision to implement private security patrols in the Footscray CBD. And I should mention that three of Borderlands Cooperative's board members are members of the Footscray Community Response. That's Jorge Jorgera, Terry Sumulis and Peter Gutside. And anyway, in regard to the report, it's a great report, a great evaluation report. It's very well researched and well written and presented and very accessible to, I should say, and we will put a link to it on our program page. So welcome to the program to talk about the report, Marie Pardee. Marie, can you tell the story behind this new evaluation report and why community members and representatives thought that this evaluation was even necessary, including your own role and how you came to be involved?
It came from the group, the grassroots organisation, as you called it. You already introduced Footscray Community Response. And this group actually is quite a new group. It emerged in the wake of a terribly tragic accident in Footscray in April last year. In April last year, the police decided to have what they called a strong show of force in Footscray, and they initiated a three-week operation where they said they would saturate the area in order to make it more secure and safe and so on. And then less than a week into that program, a Somali-born refugee, very known to the community in the CBD area of Footscray, Abdi Fatah Ahmed, was shot and killed by Victoria police officers in the suburb. Now, Abdi Fatah was homeless. He also experienced other mental health challenges, and the police claimed that they were in some danger because of him. This is a contested claim. But the death occurred at 9 p.m. on a busy corner in central Footscray. There were quite a number of people around who saw this, who were distressed and shocked. The shooting entailed not just one shot, but multiple shots. And this all just happened very quickly. It happened on the Thursday before Easter, so it was Good Friday the next day. Mm. After that day, on the Good Friday, the Easter Friday, a number of people gathered in a sort of impromptu vigil that was held at the place where he was shot. About 100 people came, and the mood was very somber and distressed, but people were also angry. And I guess the tenor of that moment was like, we need care in this area. We need housing, we need health, we need community health expansion. But what we got was police and police dogs and weapons, and within 1 week, someone from the community was dead. Mm-hmm. And so people were outraged about that and really quite distressed. And then a few days later, the African community, the African retailers and community members who were really shocked and sad and angry, organised a rally and in the city, in the central area, and then they marched to the police station. There were about 250 people marched to the police station and asked for answers and were very aggrieved and grief-stricken, as you could imagine. And so what happened was that people from that point said, we have to do something. The people in the community have to take on responsibility for advocating and for creating a more caring community. And so a number of people got together, as you say, at Borderlands. Borderlands just hosted the meeting. And that group was talking about the sorts of responses they wanted to engage with. And then very quickly, the Narrabeen Council decided that, yes, there was an issue with safety in the central area of Footscray, and that they would vote, or they would put forward at the council meeting, to engage a private security firm for a six-month period. And their aim was that they would employ these security guards to accompany the bylaws officers, who had reasonably said that, you know, their work was really difficult and that they needed some support. And so, yeah, Narrabeen Council decided it was an interesting response to...
It's a law and order response, almost.
Yeah. It was a funny response that, you know, members of the community, someone from the community had been killed, and that the security guards were actually moved in to what they said was to make it safe, but also to reduce antisocial behaviour. And so our work, Footscray Community Response, really went into action after that, and we thought, well, if this is what they're going to do, and they did, they implemented the security guard program in September, we decided that we would actually watch the security guard program and engage with the community and observe and discuss and engage and look to see what how it affected people.
Yeah,
that's what we did.
So, yeah. Marie, I just wanted to comment too, is it's interesting in relation to a community member being shot by police who is unwell, the response was, let's make the community safe, but the safety's not aimed at making people in his situation safe, and he's the one who was shot.
It was an extraordinary response, really, wasn't it? And so I think there are many questions about why that response was the one that local government prioritised.
Yeah, so now I'm conscious we lost a bit of time with our glitch. So just jumping into the report, can you talk a bit about, did the report find that the community's safer because of these security patrols?
Well, I mean, I think you raised a good question, Jennifer, because the question you just raised implicitly was safer for whom is the obvious question that follows from that question. And in short, our findings were that our community research found that there was not only, there was no demonstrable improvements to so-called safety in the area, but it also, in some senses, aggravated some issues. So I think, you know, when you ask the question, did it make it safer, you'd have to assume that people are unsafe in Footscray. And so there is this huge problem with safety. And that's a vexed claim. And it's also a very vexed foundation from which you would establish a program. Because whether people are unsafe in Footscray is very questionable. But people have been encouraged to believe that they are, that Footscray is not a safe place. And the principal reason for that is that there are a lot of people, or there's a cohort of people, who occupy public space in Footscray in ways that maybe are uncomfortable to see. Maybe they feel confronted by people who have obviously looked different. They have, they may drink, they may be using drugs, they may be just sitting and occupying public space where they're not deemed to be entitled to do so.
So maybe lowering the tone of the neighbourhood, is that it?
I think there's a real lot of tension between those who occupy public space through consumerism. So, for example, through sitting in outdoor areas and consuming alcohol and food, and those who occupy public space very close by who don't have the resources to do those things. So in areas where there is that kind of competition for public space, although there doesn't need to be any competition there because there's enough space there. So, I do think there are issues where people are afraid sometimes when people might be having some episodes of psychosis or, some forms of aggression and so on. So I think there are issues of discomfort there. But, I think the research, what we found was that it didn't really make the place any safer. And in some situations, it really aggravated. It aggravated and increased levels of hostility, and particularly hostility towards people who were occupying public space, and also danger for them as well. And then there was this sort of cycle of hostility, I think, that just the very presence of security staff, some of the people told us, triggered behaviours.
Yes.
Triggered them, and, they became involved in sort of cat and mouse dynamics sometimes. And then there were several incidents where there were serious acts of hostility and aggression.
Yeah. Well, I understand these guards, they don't have training in... We know about programs like community nurses and outreach support for homeless people. There's been programs like that for a long time, but this is not what these guards are doing. They're not trained how to deal with mental health, drug crisis. Sounds like they're not even trained to de-escalate. And from what I got from the report too, is often they're telling people to scull down their drinks.
Yeah, this is a really interesting issue. It's and it's very stark when you see the locations of where people are occupying space and meeting together and congregating. There's a particular area in the mall where people gather and they sit and they engage with each other. They all know each other. They drink alcohol from time to time. And that is, according to Maribyrnong's local laws, is an offence to have opened alcohol containers. And so the security guards have been observed telling people to drink that alcohol very fast because they'll confiscate it from them. So people do. They're actually drinking the alcohol, which, of course, is creating more danger, both for the person that's consuming the alcohol, but also for others who may have to interact with those people after that person is more inebriated.
Yes, and I'm just looking at some of the quotes from the report. Really make your hair stand on end. One service provider, who were consulted, I have clients who have been exposed to more physical violence than prior to the program at the hands of the security guards as well as other members of the public, which is terrible. And then another one says, a long-time Footscray resident who has been homeless for many years said the people patrolling Footscray often mocked her and made her feel worthless. She felt they judged her with no interest in her actual situation or needs. And just one more. I have never seen them helping protecting normal people. They're more concerned about protecting the shops and the shop owners and maybe like the civilians who are not homeless, but not the actual people that live in the mall who are homeless people. I don't feel like they'd go out of their way to protect them. I don't think that's doing their job correctly because they're supposed to be serving and protecting the community, and I'm part of the community, which is a good point.
I think it's not surprising that they're not interested in protecting those people, because I think those people have been deemed to be the problem to be solved. And the problem to be solved is not to address their social, health and economic housing needs of those people, and it's certainly not to respect their desire and their right to have social engagement with their friends and associates in public space.
Well, the priority
really is to move those people away from that space, because there is a kind of aspirational dream about Footscray that somehow if you get rid of those people, you will attract a lot of business. And if you attract a lot of business, somehow Footscray will become a really wonderful place and not have to anymore see any evidence of the ravages of the austere system that we live in, which is actually about, you know, cutting services, refusing to provide people with housing, refusing to allow people who don't have money to occupy public space in the way that people who do have money are completely entitled to.
Yes, and it gets to the crux of the idea of some people mattering more than others, which was, of course, behind that slogan, Black Lives Matter. And it's like this program is targeted at certain groups in the community that matter to the detriment of ones that don't matter. And
yes.
And I guess the other point, too, is just what's the theory behind this? I mean, if everyone wants prevention, right, but there's different ways of doing prevention, and as you say, prevention could be providing adequate mental health support, providing affordable housing. So there's their prevention too. But why? But they've leapt quite straight to this security guard patrol methodology, which doesn't, well, from my understanding of the research, isn't based in any evidence at all.
No, there's no evidence to suggest that it creates anything other than increased criminalisation of people. I mean, what this actually enables is a kind of legitimisation of criminalising people because of their poverty and because of the way their poverty is very, and the effects of that are visible to the rest of the community, and that's quite confronting. So there's no theory based on, it's not based on any theory that actually has any demonstrated evidence of success.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned human rights too, that as I understand it, local governments don't have intrinsic power to make laws, so that if they're in contradiction with the state law, they're not valid. So there's a questionable legality around all of this as well.
Yeah, there's certainly a question of legality around the drinking in public laws, and there's also a whole series of questions of legality around, you know, councils, the extent of the powers that these security patrols have. But people might recall that the state government did move after the death of Auntie Tanya Day to decriminalise being drunk in public places and drinking in public places, and yet Maribyrnong Council criminalises that. So there's a contradiction here. So they are at risk of having invalid laws, and therefore they're at risk of, if they seek to implement those laws, they're at risk of, you know, serious contravention of the law. Mm. So there are risks for the council there.
Mm.
I mean, I should say that local government has very little resources. They don't provide public housing. They don't provide levels of income. They don't provide health services. I mean, they're not set up to do that. But they have got a role to advocate for their communities very strongly.
Yes.
And there are things that local government can do immediately.
Yes. And this brings me to where we do have to wrap up. We've only got about a minute and a half. But
yes.
So what needs to be done, and what can listeners do?
Mm. Yeah, the first thing they need to do is redirect this funding away from security guards to outreach workers, qualified outreach workers, which would also have them complying with the Yuruk Commission, whose recommendation is that, you know, people, First Nations people who are experiencing these issues in public place should have access to emotional and wellbeing workers, not security approaches. And they should also fund non-violent de-escalation training for all their staff and businesses. But there are also some very practical things that local government can do in terms of redirecting its resources and building amenities in and around Footscray CBD. Really things like showers, toilets, lockers, etc. Think about utilising their own buildings and churches.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. We are coming to the end of the program, but yes. I think you've given us the gist of that, and there are really good recommendations in the report. So I'd like to thank you so much for joining us on the program today, and my apologies again for the glitch, Marie Pardee, and for talking about the new report by Footscray Community Response titled A Community Evaluation of the Footscray CBD Security Patrol Program. It is an important issue for Footscray, but also for wider implications for how we deal with and prevent social marginalisation in our communities, especially in the widespread trend to using law and order approaches. So thanks again for coming on the program and explaining the report. And it's been quite illuminating, if not a little hair-raising.
Thanks, Jennifer. And just, have I got time to say that we're having a... No, okay,
Fine. We'll put it on the program page.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
great.
Sorry, we've got about 6 seconds. Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Marie. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Think Again live on 3CR Community Radio today. If you want to contact us or give us feedback, email Borderlands. Our programs are available by podcast and on the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au.
listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.